take a look at a website, examine how it works, and break into it in literally a few minutes.
These are real organized criminal gangs who are making business decisions about where they're going to take their next product.
Doing more damage to U.S. banks than all other forms of crime, including embezzlement, bank robbery, check fraud, all the other forms of losses to banks combined.
There were Glocks, there were semi-automatics, there were handguns, there were shotguns.
There are some images that will never leave you, even for people who don't have children. When you see the level of abuse, is just horrific.
This bazaar of absolutely every kind of drug, photographs, descriptions, it was just incredible.
Law enforcement have a right to investigate crimes, and I think the darknet significantly hampers that, and I think that's, in a free society, I think that's a problem.
Welcome to the dark web. It has its own language, its own money, its own ethics. This is a foreign country, a sovereign state in cyberspace. I'm Jeff White, and as the technology journalist for Channel 4 News, I've spent years exploring this alternate universe, understanding how it works, and watching it grow. In this series, I'm going to take you inside this parallel universe. I want to show you the flip side of online. It was created as a tool for freedom of speech, liberation, democracy. But now, swathes of it have been taken over by crooks and hackers who've embraced this new Wild West of the web. I went in search of a digital Neverland, and what I found is a dark window into crime, desire, and fear. And the darker that window becomes, the more it holds up a mirror to us all.
Who's to say where the dominant cultural force will be in 10, 15 years? And what effect that has on your career,
I could say that the abuse
your...
that I had online when I was anonymous was minimal in compared to what happened when I lost my anonymity, where it went up, you know, 50 times.
The engine that drives the dark web is anonymity. The freedom to act without anyone knowing who you are. What if you had that same power? What would you do? The dark web is arguably the world's greatest experiment in invisibility, an entire realm built on shadows. And the way it's developing raises critical questions for us all.
We're really at a very pivotal time in history. A lot of things are being addressed in the courts that are new, and there's a lot of questions about how to handle digital material.
There is a place in society. Anyone can get to it if they're motivated enough. It's not particularly difficult, and law enforcement can't touch it.
It really makes you realise that people cross the path of being an otherwise law-abiding person into the realms of being not.
If more people understood that the federal government is essentially underwriting a distribution system for child pornography, it would be, I think, a pretty big scandal.
To truly understand the dark web, you have to understand how the normal web works. And for that, we have to go on a journey. The internet and the World Wide Web are two distinct things. Think of the internet like the train tracks, the switches, and the signal boxes that you use to get around the network. The websites are the destinations, the train stations at the end of each journey. To use this system, you have to have a ticket. On that ticket is the name of the station where you boarded and the station where you're going to. Any ticket inspector along the way knows where you've travelled from and where you're heading. The same is true online. The website you arrive at knows where you came from.
This train is for Cambridge.
But what if you don't want anyone to know where you came from or where you're going? What if, for example, you're a CIA agent visiting a jihadi website? You don't really want them knowing your origin. You certainly don't want any ticket inspectors along the way to find out. As the web exploded in popularity in the late 90s, this question became ever more pressing. For the rest of us, giving away our computer's location was the price we paid to access the wonders of the World Wide Web. For some US government agencies, it was a price they weren't willing to pay. How then could they harness the world's greatest communication tool but remain in the shadows? Jessica Barker runs Cyber UK and specialises in the human side of cybersecurity.
The reason for inventing it was to be able to, you know, the US government, just like a lot of other people, were struggling with the fact that you couldn't be anonymous.
Around 2002, a group of people came up with a solution. A system that could hide travellers, allowing them to navigate the net without giving away their real-life identities or locations. It would open the doors to a shadow internet, one where secret lives can be lived, revolutionary thoughts voiced, and hateful crimes committed. So, who invented such a radical new technology? Did it come from the hacking underground or the freewheeling startups of Silicon Valley? No. If anything, its origins are even weirder.
My name is Paul Syverson. I'm a mathematician at the Naval Research Laboratory, and I do research on security and privacy for communications.
Perhaps we shouldn't be surprised that the dark web started out as a Navy lark. Its labs have a track record in tech innovation.
The Naval Research Laboratory is the Navy's corporate research laboratory, the Navy and the Marine Corps. There is, in fact, a long history of research in all kinds of areas. A lot of the things that have been done here aren't necessarily that widely known. The original system that grew into GPS, the Global Positioning System, started here.
Syverson and his team set out to solve a basic but thorny problem. Imagine you're a US government spy on a top secret mission abroad. Go on, indulge yourself. You want to send secrets back to base. Now, the easiest way is to use your hotel's free Wi-Fi, but that's probably a bad idea, right?
If you had somebody who was, say, traveling somewhere and they want to connect back to a Navy system, or say I'm traveling and I want to connect back to the Naval Research Laboratory, and maybe I'm just in some hotel anywhere in the world, and I would maybe not like to just automatically be identifying to the hotel, or more likely some internet services provider that, you know, carries traffic for half the hotels in the city, that I, this person with this Navy affiliation, am staying here.
One option, the Navy could have built its own internet, but that's expensive. And of course, anyone using it would obviously have been from the US military. Instead, they figured out a way to use the existing internet, but hiding their identity. In this system, you can still ride the train, but what you get is effectively a blank ticket. The station you board at doesn't know where you're going, the website you arrive at doesn't know where you came from, and no ticket inspector can see the specifics of the journey, only that you've got a valid permit to ride. Syverson's system was called Tor, and it had one major snag.